Take Five.
Welcome to Take Five with Dr. Don Sweeting, President of Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando. This program is for those willing to take 5 minutes out of their day to develop a deeper mind for truth and a more passionate heart for God. Here's Don.
It was a recurring argument among the disciples, and the issue was greatness. Which one of them would be greatest in the kingdom of God? I'm sure Jesus was puzzled by their ongoing dispute. So one day, the disciples were back at it, and they brought their egocentric controversy to Jesus. How would he weigh in? Matthew 18, verses 1 through 6 tells us. It says, "Calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, 'Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea.'" Strong words. What did he mean by them? Well, let's begin by reminding ourselves of Jesus' attitude towards children. Some people are prone to an idealistic view of children. That is, they believe children are inherently pure, who are later corrupted by society. This view has had all kinds of ramifications for the liberalizing of education. Since children are supposedly intrinsically good, boundaries and disciplines are dropped. Those who hold this view tend to become child-centric, idolizing youth. Well, this was clearly not Jesus' view, because several chapters earlier, Jesus gave his view of human nature when he said that it's not what goes into a person's mouth that makes him unclean, it's what comes out of his mouth that makes him so. He pointed to the human heart, out of which comes all kinds of evil. Jesus had no sentimental illusions that children were born pure. They are innocent of many sins, but they still have corrupted hearts, what theologians call original sin. And let's also remind ourselves that Jesus still loved and esteemed children. Many around him looked on children as a burden to society. Jesus did not. Jesus stunned his contemporaries by receiving them and loving them. He took children in his arms and blessed them. And this attitude of care and concern was strikingly different from what many were used to in the ancient world. In Greece and Rome, it was an accepted practice to abandon unwanted children. But Jesus looked on them as persons and told his followers to do the same. Consequently, in the early church, Christian leaders admonished congregations against child abandonment and abortion. On the contrary, Christians were known for rescuing deserted babies and caring for them. We too live in a world where children are often looked on as burdens or they are abused. So Jesus' warning to not cause them to sin or stumble is still timely. But the central issue in this passage is not the disciples' attitudes towards children, but their attitudes towards themselves. In response to their attitudes, Jesus calls for a child to stand in the middle of them and tells them to change and become like little children if they ever hope to enter the kingdom of heaven. Children are unselfconsciously dependent. They're not strong, sophisticated, or proud. They have a simple trust. But the disciples, in their arguing and posturing, were modeling something very different. C.S. Lewis, in all his books, associated children and childhood with simplicity, self-forgetfulness, imagination, wonder, and spiritual health, whereas he associated boyhood with greed, cruelty, boisterousness, and feeble imagination. Who is the greatest disciple? Jesus said it's the one who becomes like a child in this way. In other words, he is promoting not childishness, but childlike humility, simplicity, and trust. Jesus shatters the pretentiousness of the 12. He exposes their selfish ambition. He punctures their pride. He brings them down to earth by having this little one stand in front of them. Now, you and I may not have arguments among ourselves about our own comparative greatness, but we are often preoccupied with ourselves. We jockey for greatness. We build platforms to boost our reputation. We're prone to put ourselves first. Well, if any of this rings true with you today, then let Jesus' words sink in before you encounter another person. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Thanks for taking 5 minutes today to develop your mind for truth and heart for God with Dr. Don Sweeting, President of RTS Orlando.